So quick question for you. Who would you turn to for advice on building a brand? Or maybe something a little more personal, like how would you cope with failure? How do you get back on your feet? You might ask a boss or a family member or maybe even jump into a business textbook or, I don't know, a self-help class if they still exist. What about a gangster or a con artist or a pirate? I mean, these mightn't be the people that come to mind as mentors or confidants. But as Kira Meyer Phillips found out, these misfits are often highly creative, intelligent, and resourceful. She joins me on the phone. Kira, good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
No, thank you for chatting this morning. Now, you've been involved with a book called The Misfit Economy. Now, it's focusing on what we can learn from people like, say, hackers, smugglers, and pirates. It's an unconventional place to go for some unconventional wisdom. What sent you in that direction? Where'd you get the idea to look in sort of, I mean, I guess, these fringe areas?
Sure. So I was working as a consultant for lots of large corporates for quite a long time. And I was getting a little bit tired, and so was everyone else around me, of the very much overused sort of corporate tropes of what can you learn from Apple, you know, how to work at Google and things like that. And there's a lot of wisdom there, but I thought that it would be a great idea to try and find another kind of wellspring of innovation and creativity from a world that conventional wisdom will tell you should have nothing to do with your own. And one of the main objectives for me personally was to humanize this world as well, and to see them as people who concern themselves with very similar things that we do on the other side of the tracks.
Well, you know, when we talk about the other side, they often operate really on the other side of the law. It can't have been, I guess, even just it can't have been easy to track these people down.
No, some so a lot of the some certainly weren't. I chatted to Somali pirates. Some of them were in prison when I spoke to them. Some of them weren't, and that certainly took a very long time to set up. I spoke to a lot of people who were reformed. So I spoke to a lot of ex-prisoners who were trying to rebuild their lives and start their own businesses, very much drawing wisdom from their experiences, not only as criminals, but also their experiences in prison, for example. So they were very willing to talk, and they were very happy to present themselves as reformed human beings who had also not disposed of their past on the dark side of society, but we're actually repurposing it for something more meaningful. So it was a mixture of very hard to reach and also not very hard to reach.
Were they surprised to hear from you? I mean, it must have been intriguing for them, the idea that they had wisdom to give in that context.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that they're often approached with a different line of thinking, which is a voyeuristic, I really want to hear about the really, you know, terrible things that I think that you did. Mm. And I think it was very refreshing for them to talk about how they're, you know, what they think is the problem with a certain business or how they're building their own organizations and startup ventures, and what do they have to contribute, you know?
It's a really nice change from the traditional scared straight, like, you know, all we can teach you is not to go my path.
Exactly. Yeah, like, you know, this is what happened. Look at what happened to me, so don't do this.
Yeah.
The line was quite different with the people that I interviewed, particularly the reformed, the ex-prisoners who were really, you know, thinking, you know, I met this one guy called Dwayne Jackson who spent 2.5 years in prison in the UK, and he was a master computer programmer. And after he left prison, he started his own business. And, you know, in 2013, he sold it for many, many millions of pounds. And he built his business drawing on the fact that in prison, you really have to be resourceful. And you have to use the tools that are around you. And he had no money, and he totally bootstrapped his business, drawing from his experience of having nothing in prison. And that is really sort of an idea that has been constantly pushed in the discourse of startups, but I've never seen a clearer example of it.
Any hairy moments where you're collecting these stories?
I think I was most, I interviewed computer hackers, and I interviewed them sort of, you know, digitally.
Right.
And I think that was my scariest moment, because I was talking to, you know, kids. They were, you know, 14 to 16 years old with not a very good idea, developed idea of right and wrong yet.
Yeah.
And they could destroy my life in one moment if I said the wrong thing in the wrong way. And that was a very scary moment for me. I would say that was scarier than anything actually sort of physical.
Yeah, I'm not surprised that, you know, given the current state of the world, that would actually be quite terrifying.
Exactly.
Look, I know you're sharing more stories. You're going to be at the School of Life on 31st of May, a part of Vivid Ideas. We're pretty excited about it. We'll make sure there's details up on the 2SER.com website for anyone who wants to come along. But thank you very much for chatting to us this morning, Kira. No,
thank you so much. Have a great day.
Thank you. Yes, do go and check that out. School of Life's always fantastic for the talks. Vivid Ideas. Packed jam full of very, very cool chats. And that, of course, was Kira Meyer Phillips. It's called The Misfit Economy.